How many are glad that God always gives a start over for your life? Every day is new in the things of the Lord. It's been an exciting month preaching about the Spirit of the Lord, how it moves, how He moves in our life, how intricately He's involved in you to create in you what He wants you to become. It takes a long time and a lot of repetition to understand this principle of becoming. It's very difficult to let something happen in you instead of trying to create something through you, because it's what you become, it's what matters. Everybody say, what I become is what matters. We're going to look to a little used scripture this morning, the book of Titus. If you'll turn over there to the book of Titus. Look at it a little different way as we learn to discern between the body and the soul and the spirit. Glory to God. You know, there's three kinds of Christians. And, you know, we all fall within one of these categories. In fact, we all often walk in all three things at once. But there's carnal Christians, they're soulish Christians, and they're spiritual Christians. And we know by deduction, and of course what the Word of God says, that to be spiritual is the highest calling that we can walk in, because we relate to God in the Spirit. You know, Jesus Himself said, if you're going to worship Me, you've got to worship Me in spirit. He didn't say body. He didn't say soul. But He said, you're going to worship Me in spirit and in truth. Because we know in the Spirit is where the origination of what you are is created because of what He is. It's in the joining of the Spirit, the born-again experience, where now you're born of the Spirit, that you can begin to see the kingdom of God. How many want to see the kingdom of God? We want to see beyond the natural man, the natural perception, and be able to see what the Lord is speaking, what the Lord is doing, and what the Lord is choosing to work out in our lives, because each one of you are called by the Lord to walk in the Spirit. What does it say? If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Now, some of you think that's kind of bad because you have some desires, but the Lord's not trying to tell you you're not going to have any more fun. He's just telling you that your flesh and your soul is going to be controlled by the Spirit to bring you into the abundance that God wants you to walk in. Jesus Christ said, I've come to give you life and to give you life more abundantly. How many want more abundant life? I think all of us would choose that. If you were to ask people, would you choose to win the lottery or not win it? How many would choose to win it? Okay. Unless you're so spiritual that you feel like that's gambling and you wouldn't do it. But if you did win it, make sure you tithe. Amen. Praise the Lord. Double tithe. Triple tithe, quadruple tithe, amen. 90%, keep 10%. You're doing good now if you win, amen. Praise the Lord. So the Lord has come to give us this life by His Spirit. We're infused by the Spirit of the Lord. And when we come this morning to worship the Lord in a corporate setting, we're coming to engage Him in the Spirit. That's why worshiping in the Spirit is the most essential part of this worship experience. Because you can worship in the understanding, and you can also worship in the Spirit. And we know that when we pray in understanding, it's one thing, but when we pray in the Spirit, it's another. Because it brings us to the next level of connection. I can connect with you on any level that I want to connect with you on. That's my choice, right? I can relate to you in your flesh. I can relate to you in your soul, which that's the way Christ relates to us, because He became like unto us in all things, so He could relate to us on every level that we walk in. Or I can also relate to you in your spirit. So I may have a fleshly connection or a soulish connection to you, but the ultimate connection I seek is the spiritual connection. Because in the spiritual connection that's established between the Lord and me and between you and I, it creates an eternal connection that cannot be broken. How many want to be part of something that can never be taken away from you? Amen? We're joined to the Lord. We're married to God so that we're one with Him and He's one with us. We're part of Him, He's part of us. I like that, don't you? I like the fact that whatever God gives me, I can now also give back to Him so it can create something greater than what either one of us is separately. It's amazing how God chose you and chose me, because if He chose us, He has a need for us. How many have ever chosen something you didn't have a need for? It's kind of stupid, isn't it? Well, I'm going to choose this and choose this, but really I don't have a need for it. But in the kingdom, the Lord chose you before the foundation of the world. But in the beautiful part about this relationship with Him is that we get to make a choice back. Because just as much as we need the Lord, how many need Him? Guess what? He also needs you. Apart from Him, we can become nothing. But did you know that He designed it in His economy that apart from us, He's also limited? Because He chose to reveal Himself through a people called the body. So if we want Christ to be revealed on the earth, are we praying for some great event to take place in the heavens or on the earth that is separate from us? No, it won't be separate from us. It'll come through us. Everything that God intends to happen today, tomorrow, and in the future will be manifested through you. That's how essential you are in the plan and the economy of the Lord. He first vested that in His Son Jesus, didn't He? Let there be thunder. Shake the building, Lord. I like it when God gives us some building shaking thunder. Whew. The Lord chose to invest that in us. The essentialness, see, that changes the perspective. You're not here just to be born and be born again and die to go to heaven. You're here to fulfill the purpose and the plan of what God has for you as a people. So that you can be those that stand one day and say, the kingdom of God is among you. It's in your heart. It's in you. I'm getting way off this morning, but maybe that's where I'm supposed to be. Hallelujah. It's kind of like when you're driving with your wife and you get lost in the country and she says, where in the world are we? I don't know, but maybe we're supposed to be here. How many of you have ever had that attitude and all of a sudden something happened? It made you realize, hey, this is the place to be. Sometimes you just get lost. Have I got a problem? This isn't what it looks like. Hallelujah. Everybody say, go, will, go. So even when you're lost, you're still found. Even when you're going somewhere that you don't realize where you're at, you're still in the hand of God. Because everywhere you go, He goes. Everything you do, He does. Everything you says, He said it. Because you have become this imprinted vessel. Oh, there He is. He left me. Okay. You've become this imprinted vessel that indelibly printed with this nature of God that cannot be separated from you. And Jesus said, just as He is, so am I. And so just as He is, so are you. You is that you is, right? Everybody say, I am that I am. I am a son of God. I'm a daughter of the Lord. No, the men don't say that. I am sons and daughters of the Lord. Yeah, Lord, we heard that. We used to be the church of special effects. It happened one time on 290 back in the 80s. The thunder hit so hard it just shook it did here too one time. It just shook the building right at the right point. Coincidence? I don't know. Maybe so. Look at the book of Titus, verse 1, chapter 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and to the acknowledgement of the truth which is according to godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but is in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus my true son in our common faith. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. Now hold your finger there. We're going to turn over, though. We're going to come back in just a moment. In verse 4 of chapter 3, it says, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Everybody say, he's poured it out abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. I want you to know this morning, you are in a place of poured out abundant blessing upon your life. The preaching of God's Word, the Spirit of the Lord that speaks to us this hour, will abundantly pour out upon you, bringing you into this realization of this regeneration and this renewing of the Holy Spirit upon your life. The Lord said, I'm giving you now the Holy Spirit. He breathed the Holy Spirit upon them. He said, receive ye the Spirit of the Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. And then let the rain from heaven, let it come. Glory to God. Woo! Let it rain. Let it rain. Pour out your Spirit, O God, upon your people and let it rain. Glory to God. Now, in verse 5 of chapter 1, we have this qualification of eldership. Now, I'm not going to talk about eldership this morning, but there's another point that's to be had here. It said, for this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order. We've got some more adjustments to go. That you should set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I've commanded you. But by the way, thank you, Will. You're such a blessing. If a man is blameless, you know, usually Will works in obscurity, but now he gets to be on the front center stage. Hallelujah. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dispensation, are of insubordination, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money. Don't you love how the Lord's describing ministry? Amen. Aren't you glad that every minister you've known fits this qualification? But hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, and self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine. Woo, let it rain. Oh, man, it's raining hard if you can hear it through the insulation. My, my. Thank God we're in a high place. We don't have to do it. There you are, Will. Yeah. We bless you in the name of the Lord. Woo! Bonus time on the live stream. Glory to God. How many like a little bonus time? I was missing you, Will. I'm glad you're back, by the way. Holding fast the faithful word he's been taught, that he may be able to sound doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Wow. Then he goes on to say, he's talking about the other group now. Thank God we don't know anyone in this group. There are many who are insubordinate, both idle talkers, deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped. Now, if Paul lived in the current age, he would say, put some duct tape on their mouth. But he didn't say that right. Okay. who subvert the whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables, commandments of men who turn from the truth to the pure. All things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Now, wasn't that the most edifying chapter you've ever read in the Bible? So we see that in this example of a true bishop, a true eldership, a true minister versus that which was false, we see this dividing line between that which is manifesting or coming forth originating from the flesh or the soul versus the one that moves by the Spirit. Now, to move by the Spirit is a choice. Everybody say, it's my choice. But it also goes beyond just simply your will. It goes beyond the yieldedness of your heart to allow the Holy Spirit to work and activate with you and also to work through you. It talks about this in the book of Galatians. It talks about the fruit of the Spirit. You turn there to the book of Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit. And we've talked a lot about this recently because we're trying to emphasize and let God speak to us exactly the differential between that which is the Spirit and that which is the soul or the flesh. How many will be marked by the Spirit? These are the sons of God, the ones that are led by the Spirit of the Lord. So he says the fruit of the Spirit, in verse 22, chapter 5, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And for those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Woo! Yeah. Man, I wouldn't mind if the Lord interrupted. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Everybody say, living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. See, God, the most important aspect of God to be revealed is his character, is the nature of who he is. Now, if you get the nature part right, everything else is okay, right? Because nature, the character is essentially the motivation of who we are. So when we look to God, we see the pure motivation. His motivation was to give something that cost him everything so that he could obtain something that was more precious than he could imagine. His gift to you was to get you. If you want to get something, then give something. The more you want to get, the more you should give. Because the moment you begin to pour out of yourself in giving, that's when you've set the stage for you to receive everything. That which you withhold will be withheld from you. So God knows this principle better than we do. So he gave the highest gift of all. He gave his only begotten Son on the cross to die for you and I. And in doing that, he purchased us. How many are glad that someone thought enough of you to buy you? Everybody say, I have been bought with a price. The greatest price that was ever paid was the price of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, giving his life on Calvary's cross for you, just for you. Isn't it neat that with all these millions and billions of people in the world, many of them are Christians, of all this magnitude of people that have been saved, you are special to the Lord. You. Everybody say, I'm special. You already knew you were special, right? But you are a special people. You are a chosen people. You are a redeemed people. God has chosen you and marked you. He's identified you as one that he wants to fill with his Spirit and create in you his character and his nature. The beautiful part about this whole Christian walk is how little effort is required on my part. It doesn't take me having to move a big mound of dirt, having to do some great achievement so that men would recognize me in order for me to experience the wonders of the salvation of the Lord. What God wants to do for you, through you, is greater than what any man, what man could do for you or what you could ever do for yourself. That's why the Bible said, apart from Him, we can do nothing. It's in the connection to God that we become. So the Lord is stripping this thing away called the old flesh. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. I'm letting this man die so that the new man, the Christ man, can live within me. Now I live by the faith in this Son of God, this one who I know will accomplish everything that needs to be done in my life. Amen. So we're on the pathway of salvation. Everybody are glad of that? Amen. Now, God revealed Himself through Christ. He brought the Holy Spirit through Christ to be manifested within you. He said, the last days, I'm going to pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. In the last days, my Spirit will pour out upon all flesh. And when that happens, I'll bring a whole new age to the world. It's called the age of the Spirit. It's called the eighth day. It's the day of completion that God has designed for all of us to walk in. That we walk in this complete access and understanding of who He is. Do you have eyes to see? Everybody say, I got eyes to see. And ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. If you will let the Lord do it in this hour, He will bring you into some courts that you didn't even believe existed. He'll bring you into some relationships that will blow your mind if you allow the Lord to do that in you. And break down all these religious traditions and all this stinking thinking and all this self-seeking and all this self-will and bring you right into the fullness of what God has for you. So you'll be truly marked as the true servants of the Lord. Amen? Everybody say, His will, not my will. His purpose, not my purpose. His pathway, not my pathway. So when God's called you into ministry, He's called you to walk the worthy walk. It's a walk that's separate from the things of the flesh and the things of the soul. Because the Lord is wanting you to manifest who He is to the world. Amen. Remember the story of Lazarus, don't you? When Christ went to the tomb. How many remember that one? How many have ever had a Christ come to your tomb? It's kind of nice when the Lord pays a visit when you need Him the most. Amen. Lord, we need You the most right now. In the deepest, darkest place, the Lord will visit you. Why? Because He loves you. He loves you. What happened with Lazarus? Lazarus died. But that didn't stop the Lord's love. See, you could even liken that to failure. So what if you fail? Does that stop God's love towards you? What if you miss the mark? Does that cut off this love that God has for you? No, He'll still be there crying out to you, come forth. Be released. Be fulfilled. Because every time we fail, the faithful one is there to redeem us from our failure. Verse 33 of chapter 11. Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, He groaned in His spirit and was troubled. And He said, where have you laid Him? The Lord said, come and see. He said to Him, Lord, come and see. And He wept. And the Jews said, see how He loved Him. So the power that raised Lazarus from the dead was the power of love. So if you're going to walk in the Spirit, if you're going to operate in the gifts and the fruits of the Spirit of the Lord, the first prerequisite is the motivation of love. We don't do the ministry because we want the ministry or because we desire the ministry. or because we seek the edification that ministry brings. We do the ministry because of love. If we really love the Lord, that means we really love humanity. It's impossible. He said the scripture, the whole thing is fulfilled in this commandment that you love the Lord, thy God, with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy strength. Then you love one another as you love yourself. So love becomes the motivation for everything we do. And in order for the Holy Spirit to work in you, to create in you this great manifestation of this wonderful character, or this manifestation of this incredible power, or this manifestation of these awesome gifts, it all must be first motivated by the true love that God's put within your spirit. Hopefully I didn't come to church today because it was an obligation or because I was afraid I would miss my paycheck. But hopefully I came today because I love him. But hopefully I also came because I love you. Amen? So if, as a bishop, as an elder, as someone that aspires to ministry, it's not about what you're receiving. It's about what you learn to give. And the expression of who he is. Because if I want the Spirit to work within me, I must have the right motivation. It would be amazing if we as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ would allow this stripping to take place. Where there's none of this phoniness. Or this pseudo religiosity that so easily engulfs us. And this fake Christianity that we can so quickly apply, like applying makeup in the morning, and let there be this true nature revealed through us, this true nature of love. The one thing that Bob Jones said before he passed was his preaching had kind of, I guess, degenerated in some people's eyes because usually you just get up and say, God loves you. And he said, are you loving well? It's amazing how the older we get, the more important the basics become. And the less important the externals are. For it's not about doing. See, the older you get in the natural, it's less about doing and becomes more about abiding. It's the same thing in the spirit realm. The older you mature in Christ, it becomes less about performance. And it becomes more about communion and relationship. That's why as long as the Lord blesses us to be here as your shepherds, we will not be a performance-oriented ministry. Because it's not about performance. It's about connection and unity and love. Reality, the real spirit of the Lord. There's nothing wrong with performing, but that in itself won't produce what God wants to create in you. It's the abiding that the Lord gives. It's this fruit of the Spirit, this love, this long-suffering, this gentleness, this goodness, this meekness, this faithfulness. See, when the Lord's love controls you, the good works that you do will bring a revelation of the Father to men's hearts. Matthew chapter 5, we looked at the Beatitudes, and I'm not going to get into the Beatitudes to any length this morning, but it's interesting that this is the first message that Christ brought after he began his ministry, and this message really is a turn-me-upside-down message, which means that the Lord set a whole new paradigm in motion about how we look at everything. It takes us out of the human aspiration of attainment, and it brings us into the principles of the kingdom. If you want to know what the gospel of the kingdom is, you read Matthew chapter 5 and 6. Because this reveals the nature and the heart of God and how he relates to us. You see, before people weren't relating to him in the spirit, they were relating to him through the law or through the flesh. But he comes in with these things that says that literally just threw them upside down. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That's not what normally you want to hear. I'd want to hear, blessed are the rich in spirit. But he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. What he's doing in this kingdom revelation is repositioning them so that they can walk in the spirit, not in the flesh or in the soul, or in a relationship to God that's based upon anything other than what he's providing to them. Because the nature of God, when you look at the things of the world, you can realize that the things of the kingdom are usually pretty much totally opposite than the things of the world. The things that you desire, the things that you want the most, are usually the things that God is concerned about the least. And when you switch the priorities around and you begin to approach God from the priority list that he gives, then you become in concert with him and joined with him, not only in receiving from him, but in purpose with him to accomplish what he wants to do upon the earth. So when Trey said, I'm not coming to do my thing, I'm coming to do his thing. I'm coming to speak what he says and do what he does, not coming through the filter of my own desire. Now, that's not to equate the fact that God doesn't concern about your desire. He is, but only when you bring it into proper perspective to his desire. It says, seek you first the kingdom of God. In other words, seek all the desire of the Lord. Now, I will add everything else in your life that you seek. The worst thing that can happen to any of us is when we start seeking things apart from him, even if they seem admirable or wonderful. Even if others would paste it on the bulletin board and say, look what they've done for God. No, don't do that. Seek you first the heart, the motivation of who he is. So no matter how great you become, if he hasn't become great in you, your greatness is nothing. No matter what you obtain to, if that attainment hasn't come through his nature, through his character, everything that you built was wood, hay, and stubble. The Lord told me over 30 years ago, he said, unless I build the house, you're going to labor in vain. I had a vision of having thousands of people in front of me. And then all of a sudden, the presence of God came and 90% left. I'm thinking, I don't want that to happen, because then who's going to pay the mortgage of the church we'd have to build to hold that many people? Amen. But how many know with me that that's always going to happen? It's always going to happen. There's going to be a time that comes when the Lord is so revealed to us that if we're here with the motives and the plans of man, it'll blow us out of the water. If there's something in us of the nature of these talking about in Titus, of these false, greedy, self-willed, self-seeking people, if that's within us, we will not survive what God wants to do upon the earth. But if it's in us to have that humility of a true shepherd, the brokenness, the yieldedness, to receive only that which the Spirit gives, then that brings the greatest prosperity that we've ever known. It'll never be about the numbers, about the money, about any of that. It'll be about him revealed in us. Wow. And that might mean some of you will be handling billions of dollars. I don't know. But don't even worry about it. Who cares? If it comes your way, if you handle that stuff, if you believe God for that and it works, man, use it properly. Be careful. Not many rich people enter into the kingdom of God. Because most people that obtain something, whether it be gifts, money, platform, there's a nature of man always says, that's mine, when it actually belongs to God. One thing in 48 years of this ministry, how many, too many I've seen fall. That were the most anointed, gifted, talented people, but yet they fail. They always fall. Every one of us fall unless we come into this utter dependence and thanksgiving. Eric wasn't sitting there. He's the one that keeps correction, the Muleshoe Dictionary. Woo! The fruits of the Spirit, God's goodness. Everybody say goodness. Makes you smile to say goodness, doesn't it? Finger licking good. Woo! What was that dessert we had yesterday over there? I can't pronounce it. Baklava? A baklava. We had a baklava. Mmm. Finger licking good. Now, that's goodness. That lemon pie I had last week. Goodness. How many of you ever had a great meal and say, goodness, it's come my way. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days that I eat lemon pie. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me when I eat a bacala for lunch. Bacala, bacala, bacala. Woo! Now you know where most of our spiritual songs come from. Goodness is the fruit of the Spirit. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. See, when you have the Spirit of God, you'll have the Spirit of goodness. There's something about when you are in the Spirit, you're so free from this old nature. Sometimes I used to think, if I could just get free from some of you, I would be happy. No, I'm not talking about any of you really, except other church. If I could just be free from some of those people, I would be happy. No, you won't be, because there'll always be someone to make you unhappy. See, the goodness of God does not come from the externals. Much as we'd like for it to be the lemon pie and the bacala, the Porsche we drive, or the house we live in, it's not. It comes from the presence of the Lord. Show me your glory, Lord. What was the answer? The goodness of God passed in front of him. When there's no goodness apart from God, we have nothing. In the realm of the Spirit, the character of any spirit is conveyed. An unclean spirit proclaims its uncleanliness. Out of an unclean spirit proceeds all of this stuff, this arrogance and this self-will and this vile violence and anger and strife. All that comes out of an unclean spirit. But out of the right spirit comes forth goodness, faithfulness, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, an awareness of God's goodness literally sustains you and lifts you up. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The goodness of God, that encouragement that comes when we're downtrodden and we're brokenhearted, when we suffered loss of relatives or friends, or when we suffered loss of anything that comes that brings this devastation to us, that's when we pray, God, let your goodness be revealed to us. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because the goodness of God has embraced my heart. Amen. God's faithfulness. You know, faithfulness is driving around your car with a gas hose stuck in the tank. You never run empty. when you're faithful, when the faithfulness of God runs in you. Oh, God knows how unfaithful we in our human nature are. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, all of us. Yet the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ, by His Spirit that He gives to us, makes us the faithful ones as well. Everybody say, we're faithful because of His great faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Wow. All I have waited and have provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, O Lord, to me. Wow. Whew. I sang by faith. I really do. I believe God loves me. You know, I used to think, boy, when I get to heaven or in the kingdom, wherever you call it, I'm hoping I'm this perfect golfer. But you know how boring that would be if you became a perfect golfer. At first two arena rounds, you'd be all excited. But after you shoot 25, 59s, well, it's not very exciting anymore. But, oh, that I may sing with a voice of angels. That would be the most exciting part of the redemption of God. Amen? How many want to have the voice of an angel? Well, when I listen, you know, when we sing in the Spirit, it's like listening to the heavenly host. I've actually heard the heavenly host. And so when you guys really sing in the Spirit, it's like being there all over again. Because heaven, this is when thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is when heaven invades earth. This is when God's people reveal His Spirit that He's invaded into their hearts. Amen. Glory to God. Whew, I got to cut down pretty quick. Because we have 1 o'clock lunchy. Okay. There's a new name written down in heaven. And His name is said in the book of Revelation upon His... what was it? Horse? Where was it? It was written faithful and true. Anyway, the name faithful and true was written. The one that comes, that Christ Jesus is faithful and true. That's what comes by the Spirit. See, as stewards of the Lord, we will be judged by our faithfulness. But good news, even that faithfulness is something that must be wrought in you by God and not of yourselves. It's like righteousness. You don't muster up any righteousness. It's all the righteousness of God. God's meekness. How many love meekness? It says, blessed are the meek, chapter 5, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. So here He's telling us, you've got a hunger, you've got a thirst, you've got to be meek. You've got to mourn. You've got to become poor in your spirit. Blessed are the merciful. Who in the name of God wants to be merciful when everyone around you is being judgmental and critical, yet God's telling you to be merciful? For they shall obtain mercy. You know, that's why, you know, sometimes I just overdose on this love stuff. Sometimes I overdose on this forgiveness stuff. Because I know that I, above all of you, need love the most. I, above everyone, like Paul said, I know how Paul felt. I'm the chiefest of sinners. I need forgiveness. And so, believe me, I'm going to be quick to give you some. Amen? Everybody say, we're sharing the forgiveness. It's called sloppy forgiveness. Some used to call it sloppy grace. We're going to sloppy forgive. I forgive, I forgive, I forgive. I'm going to predetermine to forgive you. Even before you offend me, I forgive you. Well, that's what God did. He predetermined to forgive you before you even sinned. He already forgave you. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Some of you probably say, I'm sick of Pastor Bill always talking about the heart, the heart, the heart, the heart, the heart. Well, it is the heart. For it comes out of your heart is who you are. Blessed are the pure in heart that seek God with everything within them. Those are the ones who reveal the kingdom. The heart seekers. The deer that pants after the water brook. That heart deer that cries for the altars of the Lord. That's what we seek. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Those that have the Spirit of Christ, the reconcilers, the mediators of this new covenant that bring two parties together to make them one. That have been divided where there's no potential of unity. The peacemakers makes a way for the oneness to come. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Good stuff, isn't it? Be sure you read chapter 5 and 6, 7. Read the whole thing. But you read that, you'll see this upside down paradigm that God's bringing to the earth. This switching everything around. If someone says, give me your shirt, give them your coat. If someone says, give me your money, give them your money. Well, yeah, but I don't really, No, give it. No, just do it. Someone slaps you on the cheek, turn the other one. Yeah, do it. Amen. If someone judges you, don't judge them. If someone kicks you, don't kick them back. If someone puts their mouth on you, don't put your mouth back on them. Like tell, you know, oh, someone says, oh, I don't like this about you. Well, let me tell you what I don't like about you. Amen. How many know we got plenty of things that people don't like about us? Oh, don't go out and get mess with this woman or that man. Well, if you even think in your heart, you've done it. Oh, don't go shoot somebody and kill them. Well, did you not forgive someone? See, the kingdom is a whole different level of understanding than you know, because it takes you to the whole different realm of walking who he is. Lastly, but not last, Matthew 11, verse 28. When we walk in this meekness, the meekness of God was the humility. It's the absence of pride and arrogance. The absence of pride and arrogance that sets itself in its own way. Moses himself was a man that was meek above every man. Yet he stood and faced his enemies with boldness. Said that Moses humbled himself in the midst of accusation and betrayal from his own people. He humbled himself in meekness. The sheep of the Lord are the humble ones that inherit the kingdom of God. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. Lord, let me be meek, not in myself, but in you. Verse 28 of verse chapter 11. And all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Do you have eyes to see, ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord would say to the church? Can we see the Father this morning through the Son? The Father's heart. And the Son's will to reveal him. Lord Jesus, reveal to us who you are. Show us who you are, that we may desire that above everything in our life. Come to me. This is an invitation. Come to me, all ye who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all you labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When you come to Jesus, you come into the very bosom of the Father's heart. and he takes you unto himself. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I am lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come unto me, saith the Lord. Amen. Wow. Let's have those young people line up this morning. We're going to have our teenage group and then our young adults, the 19 to 29. Just you guys line up down here. And if you come and get prayed for this morning, every one of these people are representing Jesus. And when you come to them, you're not getting something from them. You're getting something from the Lord. Amen? What God wants to pour out through them into your heart, into your life. And their faith is not to give you what they have, but to give you what he has. If you'll come to the Lord this morning through these young people, whatever your need is, it would be physical, mental, emotional. Just if you want a double dose of glory, amen, come and receive it from them today. You guys hold your hands out, all you that are standing up here. Amen. Lord, just bless them, anoint them with your presence, your glory, that when they lay hands, when we come to them, it will transform our lives because they represent who he is this morning. This is the Christ. This is Jesus right up here to bless us and for us to receive from you in Jesus' name.